Okay, this is Bio 231, October 14th, and this is the second sort of lecture in lab, and we're talking about ventricles of the brain. And the ventricles help maintain the integrity of the brain. They help absorb trauma, so when you get hit on the head, the ventricles help stabilize the brain. But the ventricles are filled with a fluid that also help nourish the brain. There's glucose in the fluid in those ventricles and various ions that are important. Sometimes we call those ions electrolytes. An example of electrolytes would be sodium and magnesium and calcium and potassium. All those have to be in the right balance for your brain to function properly, and they're contained within the cerebrospinal fluid. Okay, so let's just look at the ventricles first. Way off of midline, lateral to a mid-sagittal section of the brain, if you open your brains up, you'll see some chambers in there. These are what we call the lateral ventricles. They used to be called the first and second ventricle, but today they're just called lateral ventricles. Right? And they're filled with cerebrospinal fluid. They're connected to another ventricle in the brain. And that ventricle runs right through the middle of the thalamus. So this is the third ventricle. See this little space right here? This is the third ventricle. And they're connected to the lateral ventricles by a hole. What's the name for a hole?
A foramen.
Yeah, there's an interventricular foramen that connects the lateral ventricles with the third ventricle right here. And then there's another ventricle in the brain between the cerebral peduncle and the pons. So you see a space right in here? That's the fourth ventricle. And it's connected to the third ventricle by that little canal. You see that little canal right in through here? All right. That's called the aqueductus sylvius, or the cerebral aqueduct. And cerebrospinal fluid can actually flow through this little canal into the fourth ventricle. Good, I'm going to get the projector back really, really soon. And then from the fourth ventricle, it can flow down through a tiny, tiny canal that's right in the center of the spinal cord. And I can see it on this model. I don't know if your model has it. That's called the central canal. That's a central canal. Yeah. Okay. And then it can flow all the way down to the tip of the spinal cord, the bottom of the spinal cord. It leaves the spinal cord, and then it flows back up to the brain on the outside of the spinal cord, and it flows over the outside of the brain, and then on the superior part of the brain, it gets put back into the circulatory system. There's a special thing that gobbles up cerebrospinal fluid, and it ends back up in the blood supply. Okay, so it should never build up inside somebody's brain. So those are the ventricles. Let me show you a picture. How many seconds do I got? Oh, it was on standby. All right, so let me find a picture of the ventricles of the brain. Here's a really great picture of the ventricles. All right, so you see the brain tissue in this beige color, and the ventricles are filled with this blue color. So these are the lateral ventricles. Right, they're in the cerebral hemispheres. They're deep within the cerebral hemispheres and laterally. I don't have to, you know, the anterior horn and the posterior horn, for instance, and the inferior horn. You're going to call all of these things what? Lateral ventricles. Right, and then right on midline, right going through the thalamus, this is the third ventricle right here. And you can see the connection between the lateral ventricles and the third ventricle. This is the interventricular foramen. And then here is that cerebral aqueduct connecting the third ventricle and the fourth ventricle. And then here you can see the fourth ventricle connecting up with the central canal. There are a couple other ways that CSF, or cerebral spinal fluid, can enter and flow over the surface of the brain. There are some other holes here in the fourth ventricle. These are what we call the lateral apertures. And there's one right on midline right here. That's what we call the median aperture. So cerebrospinal fluid can leave the ventricular system and flow back to the blood this way. And here you can see that interthalamic mass, that bridge between the right and left parts of the thalamus. Right, so these ventricles look kind of strange. You've probably not seen them before. And we have a model of the ventricles. It's not the life size. It's actually bigger. All right, so here it is right here. This is a model of the various chambers that somebody would have inside their brain. So you see this chamber right here. What do we call this one? This is the lateral ventricle. And then right here, right at the level of the thalamus, it's really thin. This is the third ventricle. And the connection, let me hold it like this, the connection between the lateral ventricle and the third ventricle is the interventricular foramen, and it's got cerebrospinal fluid going through it. Here, down over here is the fourth ventricle, and connecting the fourth and the third is the cerebral aqueduct. It goes by another name too, like a lot of structures. Sometimes this is called the aqueduct of Sylvius, all right, but you can just call it cerebral aqueduct if you want. All right, and I see the lateral apertures right here, and then I can see like the central canal of the spinal cord deviating down over here. All right, so there's a structure, or there are structures in the brain that produce cerebral spinal fluid. It just doesn't happen automatically. Remember a joint cavity? What's inside a joint cavity? Synovial fluid. And so there's a membrane that secretes that fluid into the joint cavity that's called the synovial membrane. So there's a special sort of like a membrane inside the ventricles that produces cerebral spinal fluid, and we call that the choroid plexus. And you got a picture of the choroid plexus in your book. I don't know what page it's on. Is it on this one right here? Nope. All right, and it's shown in red. On the roof of the lateral ventricles, there's some choroid plexus that makes cerebral spinal fluid. All right, so it's making fluid all day long. And if that fluid had no place to go, what would happen to the size of these lateral ventricles if they started filling up with fluid? They'd get bigger and swell up and swell up and swell up. And your brain really has no place to go, so it would compress the brain. Right? So that cerebral spinal fluid actually has to have an exit. It has to be able to get through this interventricular foramen right here. Otherwise, it's going to damage the brain. And does anybody know that condition when you have a blockage of one of these canals in the ventricular? That's hydrocephalus, right? So that really deforms the brain. It kills those neurons, and it forms, you know, just really massive, unfortunate neuronal deficits in people. Usually happens during development before you're born. And so that's why prenatal care is so important, right? To check these little embryos out. And if there is a blockage in one of these little chambers, it can actually be repaired at some hospitals before you're born in utero. So that's really, really, really handy. A lot of surgeries are being done. Even heart surgery is done before you're born with certain kinds of specialists. And so that's called placing a shunt, and then that prevents hydrocephalus from developing, and then somebody's born with a normal brain instead of one that's all smushed out of shape and deformed. All right, so that's really handy. All right, the roof of the third ventricle has got choroid plexus, but that has to flow through the cerebral aqueduct into the fourth ventricle, and the fourth ventricle's got a choroid plexus as well, making cerebral spinal fluid. Cerebral spinal fluid is a lot like blood plasma. So plasma is just the fluid part of your blood, doesn't contain any cells, and CSF shouldn't contain any cells at all. Shouldn't have white blood cells in there, shouldn't have red blood cells. And if it does, what does that mean? Well, something bad. Maybe you have a hemorrhage in your brain, a stroke, or maybe you have an infection that could be due to a virus, it could be due to a bacteria, probably even you could get fungi in your brain, right? And those all can be, you know, it's probably pretty rare to have fungi, but, all right, that could be very fatal very fast, right? Because your brain is controlling so many things, your heart, your blood pressure, your breathing, right? So sometimes cerebral spinal fluid is removed from your body, and it's analyzed to see if there are bacteria in there or if there is blood or other kinds of things. And that's taken out from, not from your brain, right? Because in order to get a needle into the lateral ventricle, you actually have to go through somebody's brain, drill a hole in their skull. That's difficult to do. But because cerebral spinal fluid flows all the way down to the bottom of your spinal cord, okay, we can take it out from the vertebral canal below the level of your spinal cord. Usually call that a spinal tap, okay? Or a lumbar puncture. because your spinal cord only goes down to about the level of L2. Below L2, there's no spinal cord. There's just nerves. So you don't have to worry about damaging the spinal cord if you take cerebral spinal fluid out from that level. And it's easy to get to it because there's spaces between the vertebral bodies, right? So you can insert a needle without actually having to damage any bone whatsoever that way. All right, so these are the ventricles. I'm sure this is going to be on the practicum, right? So you got lateral, third, fourth ventricle, cerebral aqueduct, and then the interventricular foramen that's filled with cerebral spinal fluid. And you got some pretty good pictures in your book, too. In lecture, we'll talk more about that flow pattern, but I thought maybe I would just introduce you to that. All right, but for sure, the ventricles and the connections between the ventricles. Okay? And you should also find it on the models of your brains right here. All right, so I see the third ventricle, very, very thin right here. I see the cerebral aqueduct. I see the fourth ventricle, and I see the central canal of the spinal cord right there. But in order to see the lateral ventricles, you got to move what? Off of midline, somehow open up the cerebrum. Some models, you can open them up. All right, here's a model that doesn't have that septum pellucidum. The septum pellucidum is like a curtain, very thin tissue between the fornix and the corpus callosum. And when we do our dissection next week, you'll take a probe and actually open it up and look inside the ventricle of a sheep brain. Okay, but just remember, close your mouth in case there's anything in there squirting out. Okay. Okay, there won't be anything in the brain, but the eyeballs squirt all the time. Yeah. All right, so I think that's all I'm going to cover for today, but you know, take a look at these models. Okay, ask me again. Yeah, I'll look around for a good one. There are some models that are half heads that have a neck and everything. Those are good for looking at structures right on midline. Like that one, you can see the pituitary inside the cella turcica, the sphenoid bone. So, yeah, I'll think of some good demonstrations on brains. I think you had the one that was in there.